Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for being here. As always, it is good to be back after a couple weeks off. July is brutal. It's my least favorite month of the year. Can't stand it. Super hot. Wearing long sleeves, long pants in this weather. Just the heat has been unbearable this year. Bad. I get home, I hop in the shower, and I want to take a nap. That's all I want to do, you know? It's all I want to do. I go to my mom's house. You know, she's watching my dog. And she'll go, "Are you tired?" I'll be like, "Yeah, I'm exhausted." And she'll go, "Well, me too. Because I woke up at 6:45 so you can drop the dog off." "Oh, you're exhausted for waking up at 6:45? Well, I'm exhausted for, I don't know, fucking working for 11 to 12 hours in the heat. So I'll trade you dog watching. Let's not pretend watching a dog is difficult, all right? It's not. Go to bed earlier. That's all you got to do. I love you, Mom. But seriously, July is so bad. It's so bad. What else is going on before we get to the guest today? We got a fun conversation for you with a newcomer, very funny up and comer. There's this thing online now called salary transparency. Don't know if you've heard of this, but a woman got fired because she posted that she got $20,000 more a year on TikTok. She went from $70,000 to $90,000 a year, and she got fired for posting that on TikTok. Yeah, of course. Of course you're going to get fired. Your coworkers are going to see that. They're going to go to the boss and be like, "How come I'm not making $20,000 more a year?" And the boss is going to fire you. That's what's going to happen. Salary transparency? Why are they making two new words for bragging? That's all you're doing at that point. I hate it when people talk about how much money they make. You know, don't put it online. Don't put that on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. Talk to your wife about it. Talk to your husband about it. Talk to your friends about it in private. Don't put it on the internet. You're going to get fired. And the boss has basically said, we don't think you have good judgment. Of course you don't. That's terrible judgment. That's like a rule as old as time. You don't tell people what you make. Not online. Well, not as old as time. Online hasn't been around forever. But still, you wouldn't be like at a party with a bunch of people and be like, "Hey guys, this is how much I make." You don't fucking tell people. You know, I hate when my friends tell me how much they make. You know why? Because I'm very transparent. job transparency. I'm very, very transparent on the job I have, and I pay the bills. That's how you know. Like, I don't make a lot when someone's like, "How much you make?" I go, "Well, you know what? I pay the bills. You know, I get by. You know, sometimes things are tough. I skip a meal." I do fine for a single guy. It's fine. I have a dog. I'm a single guy. It's okay. If I had like a family, I'd have to have a second income for sure. You know, for sure. No doubt about it. But I have friends that talk about how much they make, like in front of me. I hate it. I was talking to a couple friends recently, and they both work the same job, just different companies. And I know they make pretty decent money. I just know that. And one of my friends was like asking our other friend, "How much do you make?" And he goes, "I make $82,000 a year. How much do you make?" And my other friend goes, she goes, "I make $80,000 a year." And then it got really quiet because we were playing video games. It got really quiet. So I knew that they wanted me to tell them how much I make. And I was like, "All right, I'm making new friends. That's what I'm making. All right. That's what I'm doing. You know, don't talk about how much money you make. It doesn't look good. Even if I made tons of money, I wouldn't be bragging about it. You know, I wouldn't be going to tell people about it. It's, you see these comedians now, like you see like some of these big comics that are making tons of dough, and they'll put on Instagram these new cars that they're buying and all this fucking crazy shit that they're buying with all their money. And it's like, great, you're successful. I'm happy for you. It's pretty cool to make that much money from comedy, but it's also kind of anti-comedy at the same time, you know? Like, there was this video of like Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura, who are both rich, were like just buying each other like thousands of dollars worth of gifts. They were going back and forth. Who could top one? You know, I think Bert Kreischer bought Tom like a fucking brand new car or something. It's like, all right. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It drives me crazy. It's like politics. Keep it to yourself. Just keep it to yourself, dude. You know? On the show today is Travis Conte. I like Travis a lot. I'm a fan of Travis. I've only seen Travis do stand up 2 to 3 times, maybe. He's put a couple of clips online to watch those. He won one of the comedy rumbles that Brett Hayden puts together. He won one of those. And I'll be honest with you. Out of all the comedy rumbles I've seen or have known of the winner, I don't think I've ever seen anybody that won that competition that wasn't solid. Like, you know, to go up there and do 90 seconds of material and get laughs is so difficult to do. So Travis came over, we sat down, we talked. You know how this goes. It's they come over, we sit down. I say this every fucking episode. But we just talked, we had a good time. He has this really cool backyard show he does. I don't know what when he does it. So I don't even know why I'm telling you guys this. This is called being off for 2 weeks and forgetting how to podcast. All right. That's what this is right now. All right. Please enjoy the very funny, up and coming newcomer. A lot of potential. This kid's got it. Please welcome Travis Conte. So Travis is the first person over here that is an audiophile, knows a lot about audio. And you were saying about people's clips drive you crazy.
Yeah, that you could just like EQ the audio, you know, like a minute of work. And like probably like if you find someone that knows what they're doing, they could explain to you the things you should look for like in 5 minutes, you know.
You know, what's funny is you're talking about the audio of the clips. And I just had this thought today of just people uploading any clips, anything like I know you got to get content out there and you got to do what you got to do. But some of the clips that people are just uploading, I'm like, this is don't put this up there. You know what I mean? This is not good. Like, don't. And it's like good comics doing it, too. I'm like, don't put this. What are you doing?
No,
this is.
I mean, I do get like a sort of like workaholic type vibe from people where they feel like they need to do more than they want to do. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you'll do better if you just focus on the things you want to do.
100%. Yeah. It drives me. I don't have the balls to reach out to them and go, this is like, you're a great comic. This is not like the best bit, or they're doing crowd work and it's just like not even good crowd work. And I'm like, what are you doing? But people want to put out stuff. And lots of times they don't want to put out their material because they're going to record it. So people think they have to put out content every like I was doing this thing where I put out a couple Instagram reels that did really well, and my buddy who's like a YouTube guy, he does pretty well on YouTube, was telling me, you got to put some out tomorrow, you got to put out like a few days later. I'm like, dude, this is not gonna be my life, man. I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not gonna do this once a week. I put out 3 clips, they're fine. I'll put out another clip when I feel like it. This isn't gonna be like a day job now. This is crazy, you know?
Yeah, but that's also like, because I hear that type of advice from those people a lot, I do make sure like I'm going to stack up a few clips before I post, right? Like instead of just going one a month, I can at least get little waves and stuff like that.
Yeah. It that's a smart way to do it. Just little by little.
Just got to find the happy balance between all the things we're talking about, right? That's what it's about.
Yeah, I think most of it is word of the mouth. I mean, how many people really, besides like TikTok, I'm counting like comics, how many comics really blow up from like just clips? There's not many.
I can like think of exactly one. I forget their name, but it was something like a non-binary comic on TikTok.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I just put up the reel and I put things on TikTok basically like just to be, if it happens to blow up, I can be like, yo, I have this many plays on this thing, because like I don't have like real credits or anything right now. So that would be decently valuable if it just happens to like go my way.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm at Detroit House of Comedy this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm working with Shane Torres, and Kevin Hart was in town last night and Thursday.
Yeah.
So Thursday night, six people in the front row. That's it. It's also a new club. So a lot of people don't know it's there yet. You know, it's they got to get a sign. They have like the sign when you first walk in the door right above the door, but they need to get a sign to where you can see it from Woodward Avenue. Because they have the hockey town, but you don't know there's a comedy club right
yeah.
next to it, unless you're like walking, you know what I mean, down the side street from Woodward. And so Shane, dude, the funniest dude, the sweetest guy. I mean, I one of my favorite people to work with so far. But he was just like sweating. He's like, ah, there's six people here. And he's like, I hope they're not mad at me. And I'm like, Shane, you're doing pretty well, man. You got like 34K on Instagram. You're doing fine. I was like, you have the biggest comedy star down the street. That's not... He's like, yeah. So he was just like really, really concerned about that, you know, and went out there and he was just riffing about how he hated Kevin Hart for like the first 15 minutes. Of it. And it was killing. It was murdering, you know?
Yeah.
But one of my favorite people to work with. Very, very funny. And then we at one point we started talking about dieting and because you get to eat. If you're a headliner and feature in there, they cover the food for you, which, by the way, every club should do that. So they're like eating shrimp fucking yeah. and I can't touch it until like, I'm like, I got, so I'm just eating like, I'm eating healthy. I can't touch it. And they're like, you want, but I can't do it. Like, you know, Sunday's the cheat day. I got to wait. And Shane's like, yeah, I'm trying to lose a little bit too. And then he goes, we're about like the same size. And I wanted to be like, are we Shane? I don't know. So I was talking to a friend. I was like, are me and Shane Torres? I'm not saying Shane's huge, but I think maybe I'm just, I don't know how I look, but I was like, I think Shane's a little bigger than me. And my friend was like, yeah, I think so too. And I was like, yeah. I didn't know him well enough to be yeah. like, are we though? I don't know. No, Shane.
I think self-perception with weight when you're working on it is pretty tough because I've like been trying to gain weight. And I was literally just like, I saw a friend last night that I hadn't seen in months. I'm just like, hey man, like tell me like what looks different, because like when I see myself, it's just mm-hmm. like I know it's way too distorted.
Yeah, well that's the thing, is it's in the eye of the beholder. So when you look in the mirror, when you other people see different things, you know, that's why sometimes you see like a very unattractive person with an attractive person, you're like, well wait a minute, and then they're like, no, maybe that just maybe that's what they like, you don't know, you know, it's weird, you know, you
just got a nice mirror.
Yeah, absolutely. How's your backyard show going? I keep seeing the flyers for it.
So
I love a backyard show.
Yeah, it's fun. Yesterday we had to do it inside
because it was raining. Photo, yeah.
But
look packed though.
Yeah, no, I think we've had like 20, 30 people watching every time. I can't remember who said it, not last night, but last month. I think it was Brett Hayden or Brad Wenzel. They mm-hmm. both like came after their Mark Ridley show.
Okay.
But they were just talking about how like you do comedy so much for like entire rooms where clearly no one like knew there was about to be comedy.
Yes.
And they're like, this is the opposite of yep. that. It's just every like house show, everyone's just like leaning in and it's so chill. It's such like, an easy show to do in general.
That's a good point. That's why house shows are so good. They know what they're getting themselves into, you know? Even people that go to a comedy club sometimes aren't even into it. But like yeah. a house show, it's almost like a more intimate experience.
Yeah, like, at comedy clubs, it seems like way too often there's just like one dude that doesn't know the rules for some reason.
for sure. I did. Both crowds last night were good.
Yeah.
Thursday was good. Early show Friday was great. Late show Friday, I probably struggled the most. It was fine, but they were just so distracted. They were younger. They were a little drunk. Somebody was smoking vape in the audience and you could see like a puff of smoke on the air. And everyone at the same time just looks up at the puff of smoke as I'm in the middle of a punchline, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is late show Friday. Typical late show Friday, you know, but the feature Kunal Aurora was very funny. I've met him before. Did great and Shane killed it. But yeah, it was like even them showing up at the club, I was like, you guys can be a little more into this than I realized. That's probably just me, you know. Going up, taking the bullet first, you know, I haven't hosted them forever. So it's a weird feeling, but it's such a fun room. And have you checked it out yet? Have you been there?
I haven't been there yet. I keep meaning to and just stuff doesn't align.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll probably try to get on like the open mic pretty soon.
I still think they're going to make some more adjustments. You know,
yeah.
I felt bad. I ran the light. I went over 5 minutes on Thursday,
yeah,
which is so unprofessional. I felt like such a piece of shit because you're supposed to do 20. I did 25, but he's got, again, they're just working out the kinks. He's got like a red light and it's not, if you're going to have a light for the comic, which you should, it should be like straight ahead.
Yeah.
You should be able to just see it pop on while you're, and that's it. He's got it and he has to right now because there's nowhere to put it in the middle, but he's got it like at the booth in the corner over here. So you have to look over to see. And when you look over, you're like, when did that go on? When did that pop on? You know?
Yeah.
So now I'm freaking out. So the first night I went over 5, and then first show last night, I like did 18. I like compensated. I was like, I don't want to like fuck it. You know what I mean? Because I was just freaking out, but they're still working out the kinks. And, but yeah, it's nerve wracking, you know? Cause I'm like, when did that go on? I don't know when it went on.
I agree that like, I'm a super anxious person, and that stressed me out every show. Like, where's the light? Mm-hmm. Like, how am I going to account for this?
You talking about just shows you're doing in general, all the lights every show, or are you talking about a specific show?
I'm just saying in general, just going to a show, like I have to like learn what the light situation mm-hmm. is. I have to be ready to account. Cause also, like, I guess besides music where I sit quietly in the back, like I've never been a performer in any kind of way until I tried stand up, you know, like getting up and talking in that kind of way. Like I didn't like act and stuff, or just not like a, you know, just a shy, not good, like presenter in school for the most part. So it's very much.
So you're going from like producer, you're like behind the scenes music wise, right? Did you play bass and stuff too?
I play drums.
Drums. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're like behind the scene. Yeah, that's weird. You're like, the drummer's in the back, dude. And no, now you're moving way to the front.
You know? No, I mean, performing drums in the band and doing stand-up, like totally different vibe, obviously. But
thank you for saying that. Some people think music and stand-up is the same, but it drives me crazy.
No, there's a lot of the comparison overlaps people try to make. I'm like, it's clear you only know about one of these things right now. Mm-hmm. Like, but there's not a lot of people I can talk about that. Yeah, so. No, that's where I'm like, I know enough to think this person is wrong, but like, whatever. Like, I'm not about to start fights about it or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to just let people go sometimes. Yeah. And you're like a really, what I like about you, and I've only seen you 2 or 3 times, is that you're my favorite type of comic. What I mean by that is you're low energy and you let the writing do the talking. That's my absolute favorite. Again, I've said this many times before, nothing wrong with having energy and good writing, but you're not making up, you know what I mean? Like, you're just relying on, hey, this is pencil to paper, and I hope you'll like, and I'm kind of the same way. I'm not moving around on stage a ton. I'm not doing the hand gestures, which is great. You know, you can sometimes keep people, you know, paying more attention to you by doing that stuff. But I'm just like, look, if you're not going to listen to me, I don't know what to tell you. Because there's not much to look at. You know what I mean? So that's what I like about your style.
No, I appreciate that. And yeah, that's kind of what I was touching on earlier. Like in college, I did like sketch stuff. Mm-hmm. I took like screenwriting classes. So like writing side of things, I kind of felt natural both like in general and with comedy.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, you know, for over a year, I didn't even take the mic out of the stand. I just like walked up, just grabbed the stand and did it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I got to take the mic out.
Dude. No. I take it out now and it, I feel more comfortable, but like I had to,
you
know,
just
like
nervous or just.
I just baby step into the thing. It's like I'm like a pacer usually when I'm talking. So then like if I'm nervous, it's faster. So I did have to like get the nerves down more before I could have the choice of moving, you know, because I could not be conscious enough with all the variables I'm keeping track of.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. It's like a comic doesn't know where to put his hands when he's talking.
Just me taking gradual, like I just did the Mark Ridley's open mic on Wednesday. And I was just watching like the mannerisms of all the comics. This might also just be my fucking autism, but like I'm just like trying. I'm like, what's everyone else doing? I'm like, oh, I'm like, this guy, he has like the mic touching his chin the whole time. So he's not thinking about the distance from his mouth as he's moving.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's like a subtle little smart thing.
Yeah.
Right. But I like seeing everyone's like little different things and just trying to like learn from them. It's fun.
Yeah. How long when did you start, pre-COVID or post?
So I started
so disappointed when I asked that question. I'm not a COVID comic. I don't want to be a comic.
No. So, I mean, I started literally with Mary. I think she talked about that when she did this.
You know what she did say, but go ahead. Let's
read it. Yeah. So that was like October 2018.
Okay.
But me and her weren't really going up much or doing anything.
You guys took a class together.
Yeah, we took the class. We did the grad show. We did a couple more shows together. We did random shows here and there. But I would say Mary probably went up a little more than me before COVID. But I probably went up like less than like 10 times over like, you know, a year.
Sure.
know, I just wasn't doing it really.
You guys are pretty close.
Yeah, me and Mary are close friends.
That's great. I know I listened to you on the Mark podcast for a little bit, and you were talking about how like people would ask you both to do something. You're like, no, you can just ask Mary or you can just ask Travis. We don't have to like do everything.
Yeah,
together.
No, because yeah, anyway. I mean, but like for that whole stretch I was just talking about, and then when we both kind of like started going a little more after COVID, it was like we didn't really know other people, make other friends yet. So we did just, you know, show up to shows, like sit together, only talk to each other and leave. So it's like, I get where some people like get that from, but yeah, it's funny.
But you have to have, it's cool that you had that person to start with though.
Yeah.
Because comedy can be lonely when you first start, especially if you don't like taking a class with someone and just connecting with someone is the best way to do it. Because man, I mean, I remember just starting comedy going, where do I sit? Who do I talk to? Like, who's my group? You know,
I have been in so many like different, like kind of sub communities like this. Mm. You know, I was doing like sketch stuff in college. I played like in video game tournaments for a few years.
Okay. So you're a gamer. Cool. All right.
Yeah. Then, you know, also the local music. I've been in that for like 7 years now.
Nice.
So, yeah, you know, as I got more active in comedy, these things you're talking about, it just like clicked so much faster compared to the other ones, because I just have like seen like all the patterns and everything there. Like, I know all the stuff I'm looking for. I'm like, oh.
And you're like, what, 26, 27?
27.
See, I feel like you've done a lot and you're only 27 as far as like music goes, performing and all. So you kind of have like a pretty good grasp of things. Pretty young.
Yeah,
I think
I'm good at learning new things.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
people get mad, like people get irritated when you say that you think you're good at something. Like you can't, like we're so insecure. And I just put this on my Facebook stories today and it took me 10 minutes to, should I send this? Does this sound like
no, I know exactly what you're,
did you see it? The
No, I know the feeling you're talking about. I don't know the post you're talking about.
Of like the humble brag of like, I want to, like, it was just basically me promoting the podcast and quoting what friends have said about the podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, should I send this? Is this cringy? And I'm like, what's wrong with feeling good about something? As long as you're not the person that's constantly going, hey, I think I'm good at this, so I like this, so I do this, then, you know, that can be a bit much. But
yeah, and I think using other people's quotes is like a tasteful way to do
it. Sure, sure. We're all in our own heads. That's the problem.
We can't, absolutely.
I still have that cynical way of thinking sometimes. I go, ah, fuck you. And I go, no, fuck me. That's me. That's not you.
That's my whole life, man. It's just like the average thought cycle 3 to 4 times a day for me.
I just realized I love the fan. We're all just insecure. No one wants to be proud of themselves. Just like Shane at the show last night.
Yeah.
Doing well for himself. Doing pretty well. And he's freaking out. And I'm like, dude, it's going to be fine. It's going to be great. You know?
Relax. Yeah. It's one of those things where when someone else is doing it, it's so easy to remind them and be like, no, mm-hmm. dude, like, this is fun. You're doing great. We're having a good time.
Yeah.
But then when it's you, you're just freaking out. And you're like, I know what I would be telling someone else if this wasn't me, but mm-hmm. I still feel this way.
Yep. Now, have you performed at like the showcase? You've done Ridley's, you said, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've done like, you know, the intro grad shows at Ridley's. I've done the open mic. I've done Detroit to LA. So I've been to, you know, the different kind of like lower level shows there, not like the weekend ones or anything. Never been on stage. I went to showcase for the first time, like any capacity, like a week ago.
Okay. At the old mic?
No, I went. It was last week. It was last week when it was like Elena and Ken.
Yeah.
That's the show I saw.
I was supposed to go that, but I went and saw I went and saw someone else that I was supposed to. I can't remember what I went and saw last week, but I went and saw a friend perform.
But
what the fuck was it? Go ahead.
No, I mean, I've put my name in for the open mic like 5 times and I haven't gotten pulled, but I'm just like, I'll just show up at one point, but not in a rush.
I got a little pull, and by little, I mean a slight tug. I'll say something to Roger. It's really up to him just fucking remembering, you know. Sure. You got to pester him. Like, I tried to get Carl Sobel on there and I texted Roger. I was like, hey man, please get Carl Sobel on. He's very funny. And Grand Rapids guy. And he goes, all right, no problem. And then he didn't get on like the next 2 shows. And I was like, God damn. So like, but I mean, but just, he's got way more important things going on.
Yeah. Right? No, that's so what I think. Understand. That's, yeah. I think a big thing with like booking stuff is I see people feeling inclined to like take it more personally than it is usually, where like someone that's booking a lot,
never
they're just open-ended freaking out about booking because there's so much stuff to book.
But, you know, I will say, just like you talked about a few minutes ago, there's so many good comics and there's a lot of good comics. And, you know, good is, you know, some veterans get stuck up when you go, good, what do you mean good? Like, well, there's starting good, there's veteran good, there's all types of good. It's just, you know, like you and Mary are strong, and in fucking 7-8 years, you're going to be fucking murderers. Sure. So it's, but you're good now. You have potential. There's something to work with. You do well on stage now. So, you know, sometimes I'll look at the lineups, the open mic lineups, and I don't know any of the people for the showcase. And I feel like people like you and Mary and Danielle and some of these other new people that are good should just be on there and just, so you can eventually work the club, right? So, cause a lot of, let's face it, a lot of these people that are doing the open mics, they're never going to go past that stage. Now, it's not to be an asshole, but
yeah,
that's what open mics are. Half the people don't ever go past an open mic. They're just like, hey, this is my Tuesday night. This is what I do. But yeah, I'll see what I can do. I'll see if I think I told the same thing to Mary. I'll text Roger and I'll text him. Hey, forget about all your problems. You put these people.
just put these two very low energy people up first.
Not first. That is true. Now that you say that, Mary is very low energy
And Mary are both pretty low energy.
Have you guys had to go back to back at a show before?
We have done it before. Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
That's the one thing about being like low energy hosts are weird. So
that's something I was just talking to my,
do you host the backyard show?
Half the reason the backyard show exists, it's literally just like, I want to make a good show for my friends to go to, and I'll just get some hosting reps in because that's like, you know, the lowest level of like the good gigs is hosting. Right. So I was talking to my Chicago friend. She was like, yeah, like, I think you and Mary would probably like get feature spots for host spots because like hosts are usually higher energy. And I was like, honestly, we have a lot of our lower energy people hosting in Michigan. And I'm not going to speculate on the reason for that. Mm-hmm. But like, we do have a lot of low energy comics that host and like do great doing it still.
That's also a valid observation, though. Like, if you're low energy, like Sam Rager talked about Sam before, and even someone like Brad Wenzel, who's fantastic, I mean, I think Brad would probably kill as a host now, but especially when he started the first few years in, low energy, great jokes, but low energy, just not a host, you know, just very.
Brad has so much charisma for being low energy, though. And that's not as common.
He does now. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I probably have never even seen what you're comparing to in your head to say that.
We came up together. I knew him when he was in a blazer, and he was like the 16-year-old kid that wore a blazer for the first year of comedy. The shy kid from Monroe. Just wearing a blazer, and he's like, hi. And then like he was always funny from the start, and then just got funnier and funnier, and just I love that guy. Guy's great. I just saw him at Blind Pig a couple weeks ago. I remember like him getting Conan for the first time, watching that Conan, and just texting him, and just he's like, I'm getting hundreds of texts. I was like, yeah, dude, because you did fucking great. You're like the Michigan Golden Boy. Like that's. If you're asking me, and you are, if you're like asking me who's the guy from Michigan, there's several, but Brad's the one that kind of sticks out. Like everybody loves Brad.
Yeah, you know? I mean, coming in way later than you, that's also like that was made clear to me quickly. Like he is.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Jeff Horst is doing great. Ron Taylor's killing it. He's out in L.A. killing it. Ricardo Flanagan was starting to blow up, and then. R.I.P. But I mean, there's a lot of talented people that started here that moved. Mm-hmm. So, and Brad's great. Brad's just, and you can't, this is the Brad Wenzel podcast, by the way. But he's also just like, he's a killer on stage and like the nicest guy. And a combination like that, you're only going to go far. If you can be likable
The couple times that I've just had like a quick interaction with him, not performing, like I can't even remember them, but I just remember laughing. I'm like, that's Brad. Like
all the time. Great dude. What else about Brad?
Just clip this whole section out. Send it just to Brad, and then the episode will just pick up on the next
one. Brad Wenzel podcast hosted by Carl Johnson. Like, this is strange. What a weird.
That's the other thing was I was trying to get Mary to host a yard show. So it would say
Travis. Have you guys thought about hosting it together? Like
that, I've thought about that too, but in my head it was just for the bit of Travis Conte prevents Travis Conte's yard show
with my
Barry Spencer.
Because really
right now, yeah. I just did the goofy thing of putting my name in three times. So to just bait and switch Mary's in.
This flyer is huge.
She seemed less keen on it last time I asked her. So it seems like it's not happening.
She's super shy. Am I right about that? She's. Yeah.
I did like a prototype yard show for my birthday. So we last October.
The Brad Wenzel podcast to the Mary Spencer podcast.
Dude, no, my whole life is the Mary Spencer podcast. Like sometimes I'm like
do like, people really come up to you and ask you about her? It's weird if that happens.
I mean, so. No, but like people have made like different, like funny assumptions about our relationship. Sure. Like someone just thought like you guys are roommates, right? And I was that's a funny guess. I love that.
Yeah, people have that assumption. I still don't know why people did that with me and Sam Rager, who's my absolute favorite person in the world, my best friend. People thought me and her were dating too. So it's just like,
yeah. So I mean, that's just the thing where it's like, I don't want to, treat Mary differently because I'm afraid people will think we're dating. So I'm just like, someone like mentions Mary. I'm like, Mary is like my favorite person. She's like the funniest person in the world to me.
Yeah.
And they just like, look at me and they're like, that's so much nicer than people usually say things about people. I'm like, yeah, no, she's just my friend and like a very good creative collaborator.
Yeah.
And you know, like it just makes me happy.
That's awesome. I'm so happy to see people like you and Mary. Like that's the thing. That's what I like about the crop of comics coming up right now. Is that not only are they funny, but they're fucking good human beings. And that's why I think the scene is so good, is because great comics, great people. That's really important. So I'm impressed with people like you, Mary, Danielle. I can keep going. Andrew, Joe Buck. I mean, it's just a ton of talent that's like also a good hang. That's why I love doing this podcast, because I like having new people on, veterans. I just like talking to funny people.
No, and I was thinking like on my drive, like my favorite way to interact with people is just like straight one-on-one conversation like this.
Yes.
But that's harder to get in general. You know, like you have to usually ask people to do that.
Yeah.
And that like intimidates people. So you get less of it. And that kind of sucks.
Yeah. I don't think I said this on the show, but this has happened a couple times, right? Once with Danielle, then once with Mary.
Yeah, no, I listened to both of those. You were talking about it pretty in depth on Danielle's.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah.
But no, that's what like I have jokes about how so I generally like being friends with women more than men.
Yeah. So then
it's just like the double-edged thing. It's like, hey, like, I don't want to like have to be like every single time I'm like, this isn't a date.
Yes,
this is just a thing. Because that sounds like you're overcompensating too. So it's like a lose-lose. So you just ask people to hang out and hope how you act.
Absolutely.
Speaks for itself.
And it also you're right. That's a valid observation. And also the beautiful thing about comedy is all my friends age from like, are like 20 to 50 years old, you know? So that's a good, we're all doing this one thing that kind of connects us so we can talk about it and hang out. In what other world? I mean, you know, mid 20s going into late 20s, that's not super, super young anymore. But what, in what world would a 41-year-old me talk to a 26-year-old Mary? And you said you're 27, right? I mean, how often would that happen? I mean, it can happen, but this is the thing that makes us, hey, let's have a fucking conversation. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
But it is weird, like, because I think I was talking to Sam about this, like 20 years ago, a 41-year-old was like a 60-year-old. I mean, that's just how it was. And that's how sometimes I still think the younger people think. So when I ask someone like Mary or Danielle, also I'm a dude, they are not, to come to my apartment and talk to someone they don't know very well.
Yeah.
It is weird. And I have to be like, look, I have a good reputation. Ask people, all the other females that have been on the podcast, they've survived. Like, you know, you have
these
to
are my references. give them some calls.
And as Mary was leaving, it was so funny because she goes, who's your, and she's, I think she was joking, but again, I don't know her voice. She goes, so who's the next victim that you're for your podcast?
She's joking.
And I was laughing. I was like, I was like, it's Ella. Ella's coming over next.
But no, that thing you were talking about, like, 40-year-olds or the word like 60-year-olds. I do think about that a lot. I think as I got like 22 and older, like the difference between like where is culture shifting and where am I aging, and you know, like which is which.
So how do you feel? What is your outlook on someone 40, 41, 45? Like, what is your, like, I know it sounds like a weird question to ask, but I wonder, like, cause when I was 25, I thought a 40-year-old was like fucking 55, 60 years old. You know what I mean?
So yeah, some of it is definitely, I think it's really both in this conversation for sure. because, you know, like people like get married later, have kids less. So and then just, you know, the whole like money thing, housing market, like more people live with their parents. So like culturally, a lot of things that were associated more with the youth have been like stretched wider, and people have also like empowered themselves to just live their lives more that way,
right,
too.
Right.
So it's both, I think.
Yeah. Okay. That's an honest answer. I like it. I'm 41, but I don't feel like I'm 41, dude. I don't think I'm ever
going to feel like I'm old. Like I kind of already feel that way, even though I'm not old, but I'm just like, not super young.
Yeah. I like to joke around about it and be like, oh, I'm old, but I really don't feel like I'm that old, you know? Yeah. I don't really generally feel that old, especially like comedy makes you feel young, dude. It just, most of the audiences you perform for, who's going out to shows, usually 20, 30 year olds.
Yeah.
That's usually who it is. So, and 20, 30 olds, you look at comics like Nate Bargatze, all these other comics are in their 40s, 50s, are doing very well. All the audiences are pretty young. I mean, there's middle-aged people too going out, but it's like a 20-year-old doesn't care if the comic's 40. Just be funny. We don't care. Just don't do 40-year-old material. Don't go up there and be like, my back hurt. Don't do that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, because then you're not going to be relatable. So what do you do? What's your day job? Is it?
I'm like a data analyst.
Okay. All right. That sounds about right. You look like a data analyst. That's a smart guy. So you don't have to deal. Do you have to deal with customers at all? Or
no?
Just it's great. Oh, it's amazing. How does it feel? I have to talk to people. It's great, right?
I think I would just be, you know, stressed and bad at jobs like that.
Yeah. This happened 3 days ago. I fertilized lawns, and I had a lady on Wednesday. And I was going to her house. I did her front and I went to do her backyard, and she walks out. And again, what I love about my job is I don't really talk to customers very often. Yeah. Most people aren't home or they don't even want to see me. Yeah. They don't care. So I'm in the backyard, I'm doing my thing. And the lady comes out and she goes, what are you putting down? Are you spraying or is that a granular? And I was like, I'm putting a granular down. And she goes, you're done. That's what she says. She goes, you're done. Like that. And I was like, what? And I was like, well, the granular is better for the lawn. Your lawn's not heat stressed. It needs granular right now. It's better. I was told that it was going to be sprayed. We're done. And then she starts swearing at me. And I'm like, okay. And I start, and immediately I just go from a 1 to a 10. Cause I don't like to be swore at or yelled at. So I'm walking out front and she goes, why didn't, she's like, well, I want you to might as well finish it. I was like, didn't you just say we're done? Cause I'm done. I don't know about you, but I'm also done. And then I go, I'm going to cancel your service. She goes, what? And she goes, I don't want you to cancel. I was like, well, I'm going to do it anyways. And you can call my boss. She goes, well, I'd like to apologize. And I was like, it's too late for that. It's too late. So call my boss. He's not going to have an issue. She's like, he's not going to be mad at you? I was like, no, not at all. And I called my boss, gave him a heads up. That's all he wants ever. And I told him the name of the customer and he goes, oh, they're an asshole. So what does that tell you? So I fucking hate. I just. No,
I honestly, look, that's like a borderline like validating story to hear to me. Just I'm the same way where like I'm trying so hard to be nice with these things. But like the second someone like tips me over, I'm just like, fuck you. See ya. Like,
yeah.
Just 1 to 10, like you said.
And it's just so, I've never understood, I've never in my entire life, Travis, have ever been mad at someone that worked somewhere, customer service. I've been mad, but I've never raised my voice at someone. I've been like, hey, can I, like, maybe disappointed. I've never been like, hey, what the, I've never ever done that because that's not how you fucking treat people.
Yeah.
You don't talk to people like that, especially if you don't know the person.
Yeah, especially like in that customer service thing you're talking, like, so many of the times you just know they're doing like a job that sucks to do. Yes. Right. So like, I'm like, I think that is like the difference in the people who are like so mean or not is if they understand how much the job sucks.
There's a video of a dude. It's on YouTube and he's recording. He's at, I forgot where he's at. He's at some place and some guy's behind a computer. He's trying to help him out. And the guy's losing his mind. All right. Not the guy recording, the guy behind the computer working is losing his mind. To the point to where he's taking his head, Travis, and he's banging it up against the computer screen. Like he's obviously having a mental breakdown. And the guy who's recording him is making fun of him. And it's like, whoa, 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 dude, you're in the wrong here. Not this guy. This guy's clearly having an issue. And you think he's just being a bad representative of wherever he's working. That's not the case.
The point of the video was that like they were bad at their job.
Yeah, he was. Yes, oh he was God. Like this. Look
no,
at
that. That's so
exactly.
That's so my.
Yeah. Just take your glass off, rub on your head. Yeah.
No, I'm upset.
Mm-hmm. It's clear. It's visibly clear that that guy's not well. That's not a thing that normal people do.
Yeah.
You know, so he's going through something and the guy's recording. He's laughing at my eyes. Look at this guy. And of course he puts the video up and what happens? Everyone's like, no, fuck you, dude. What are you doing? You know what I mean? So
God, I'm glad that went down that way.
Yeah. I don't understand people that get, it's like going to like, I went to, I think I've done this on stage one time. I think I'm trying to do it. So I only preface that. So if you hear it on stage, you're not like, did Carl just do material on his podcast? Cause I don't want to think I'm doing bits, you know, like finished bits on the podcast. If you go to like a fast food service, like if you go to like a Taco Bell or a McDonald's, and you get, like, I go through the drive-thru and you get home and your order's wrong. You know what? Kind of on you. You know what I mean? You went to a McDonald's. You went to you didn't even get out of your car, dude, to get your food. You did the laziest option ever. Yeah. So how can you be upset, right? Also, you didn't check the food.
Yeah.
So I've gotten back to my house and I look and it's the wrong food. It's the wrong order. And I've never once, Travis, gone back and been like, what the fuck? I just go, hey, man, you're kind of on you, dude. What do you expect, you know? And this happened recently. I went to Taco Bell. The guy gave me the wrong order. And when I got back, I opened it, and it was potato and cheese tacos. I wasn't even mad at Taco Bell, Travis. I was mad at the guy who had the gall to order potato and cheese tacos. Because who does that? I don't eat potatoes out of my house. Who does that? No, nobody does. Unless it's in French fry form, I'm not touching it. You know what I mean?
No. This is good. I like this.
So I'm in line at and here's the thing. This is what you should do. If you go to a drive-thru, be considerate of other people. You know what I do now in case someone gets the wrong order? I look at the guy behind me. I go, hey, what do you like? You know, just in case. Oh my god. Potato and cheese tacos, Travis. What are we doing? Ugh.
Like, I don't know. There's so many ways to eat potatoes and cheese too. Like, why are you going to Taco Bell and putting it in a taco?
And then this morning.
Yeah.
I go to Tim Hortons. I'm eating better. I'm eating well. I'm running, but a couple of days a week I'll have a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah.
So I go to Tim. This really happened. I swear to God. I go to Tim Hortons. I'm in the drive through. My dog's with me. I take my dog everywhere. And she's like in the drive. She's just hanging out in the pasture seat. And I go, I want a turkey sausage, egg and cheese breakfast sandwich. And he goes, all right, sausage, egg and cheese breakfast sandwich with turkey. Nope. Turkey sausage, egg and cheese breakfast sandwich. So he goes, you want sausage, egg and cheese with a slice of turkey on? No, dude, turkey sausage is one thing. It's one thing, bro. I'm losing my mind, but I'm not saying this part to him. Like, so I just,
yeah, no.
I say it a third time. He repeats it the same way. And I go, I look like I'm just getting sausage, egg and cheese with a slice of deli turkey on. Who has that? Who makes that sandwich? It's turkey sausage, bro. It's combined.
What is the sandwich you ended up with?
I ended up with a sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich with a slice of turkey. I was like, what psychopath orders this?
But how was it since you had to eat it?
It was fine. What do I expect? I can't get mad. I'm at Tim Hortons.
No, that's... I'm frustrated, but like not at this person. Just like
I am. And then the woman, for some reason, it wasn't the woman that was talking to me over the speaker. The woman was like, let me make sure it's the right order. And when she did, I thought, oh, she's making sure it's turkey sausage. But then when I got home, I was like, God damn it, it's not, you know? Fuck, dude. The guy couldn't understand. He couldn't comprehend that turkey sausage is one thing. He couldn't pick up on it. I was like, what is happening? Let's wrap up on your worst bomb. Now, you're still fairly new, low energy guy too. So when I say that, what I mean by that is great jokes, but low energy. So probably a little more bombing. Yeah. Probably,
so
right?
Like,
especially in the beginning.
So like, this is something I've thought about a lot, basically, where, you know, the easy to do open mics in Metro are like, you know, like long mics where comics hang out and the crowd is like very weird the whole time.
No
basically.
Way.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, new way being like the crown of that, which mm-hmm. I'm not trying to talk shit. Like,
it's a great open mic. It's like the perfect, it's the antithesis of an open mic is new way.
Yeah. But like,
did I use that word correctly?
No. Ask I'm the math guy. That's I'm texting Mary after the conversation, that's asking right, cool. Usually she's the English one. But so like, yeah, like Mike's like that. It's like, I almost feel like I'm like the amount of practice I'm getting isn't good for just the amount of more anxious I'm getting because I can't like take control of a room like that right now. Like I'm sure. Kind of hoping to get there, but it's like a baby steps thing.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I've done a set at New Way where like I did all the jokes I won Comedy Rumble with and just bombed.
That's what I heard. You won Comedy Rumble.
I won Comedy Rumble with jokes that zero laughs at New Way before, you know, like joke isn't that different. Like it's just,
it's a numbers game.
It's that's like, just like my style is, it's going to be harder to get
to pay attention. You mean,
or just like you were saying, like, you know, you don't grab people's attention. You just, you know, hope they pay attention. Nope. Like it's the same way.
Yep. You just, hey, listen to the words, man. I don't know what to tell you if you're not listening to the words.
So yeah, no, like 10 minutes at New Way, like most of my material, like almost no laughs. Like
totally. There's a crowd, sitting there.
There's some people, at least. I don't remember exactly, you know, at all.
It's a humbling, open mic.
Like I'm saying, like, I think there's diminishing returns on it, but also like eating shit like that a few times, it's good to get it in where it's more likely to happen too, kind of, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're like, yeah, that happens there sometimes.
Yeah. I if you want to not feel like a veteran comic, go to New Way. That'll really make you, go, oh, okay. Because, you know, you do this for a long time. You're like, yeah, I'm pretty good. And then you go to New Way and you're like, but it doesn't matter. In the end, New Way doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. No one's going to, even if you murder at New Way, no one gives a shit. It's New Way. So it's a good place to try out new jokes. That's what you go there for. If you're going there to do old material, yourself.
If you go to New Way and you do a new joke and someone laughed at it, like
that's a bonus.
It's like the COVID test. It's like, you know, if they don't laugh, it doesn't necessarily mean you have nothing yet. But if people did laugh, you definitely have something.
100%. Yes, that's a really great way to looking at it. Yeah, I want to start going there more. I think I'm going this Monday because me and Sam were talking about, you want to hit New Way? It's been a while. And then every time I go, I'm not going to come back for a while. Like, this is how I'm like, I'm excited to go.
I always get excited and I'm like, oh, let's wait a little while.
It's exciting because you get to see people you know.
No, it's very nice to see so many people.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing about it for sure.
I'm definitely going to go Monday. What I'm saying is you should also go Monday.
Maybe.
Because the New Way is the place to go. I think me and Sam are going to go, but New Way is the place to go. Nick Tangley said this. Like, you have to have someone you know to go with.
Yeah.
Like, you have to make sure, like, you're going to be there? Okay, cool. Because it's a lot of COVID people, a lot of new people. And by COVID people, I mean a lot of people that have COVID. That's not what I mean. It's a lot of COVID comics is what I mean. And so it's a lot of people that started during the pandemic. A lot of edge lords kind of hang out there.
No.
And so that's why I'm like, I got to know a couple people. Is Wes Ward there? All right, cool. I'll talk to Wes. We'll talk.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if I'm excited to see Wes, you know something's wrong. But
I've only talked to Wes a few times, but that's just such a funny thing to say.
I love Wes, and I've told him this in person. He's a guy I gotta take in spurts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
A little at a time, dude. I can't. I've spent a whole day and a half with Wes on the road, and woo. Never again. Travis, I really appreciate you coming out and doing this podcast, man. I think you got some good stuff, and I'm glad people like you are starting to do comedy. So it'll keep the other people from starting to do comedy away. And what I mean by that is the New Way people. Travis, thank you for doing this, man. I appreciate it.